Good evening, everyone. I'm Lino Ahmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. It causes seizures. Some are mild, others severe. And around 65 million people worldwide have it. That's epilepsy. It is a brain disorder in which a person has repeated seizures over time. The disorder affects people of all ages, races, and gender. November is Epilepsy Awareness Month in the United States, a time dedicated to spotlighting epilepsy and raise awareness and support. We will discuss epilepsy on the program today with our guest, Dr. Steve Owens. He is Vice President of Programs and Services with the Epilepsy Foundation. Dr. Owens, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. For our listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll have our discussion on epilepsy in a moment, but first, here is a report by VOA's Lisa Schlein.
Nearly 50 million people around the world suffer from epilepsy. The World Health Organization reports this neurological disease affects people of all ages and all walks of life. It says this brain disease can cause seizures and sometimes loss of awareness. Program manager in WHO's Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse, Tarun Dua, says people with epilepsy suffer widespread stigma and discrimination as a consequence of their unusual behavior.
So in many settings, people with epilepsy, they are embarrassed. They are not allowed, children are not allowed to go to school. Adults are not allowed to work, sometimes not even marry, or the right to drive is also not there. So these stigma and human right violations, and sometimes also the death that is associated with epilepsy. So premature mortality in epilepsy is 3 times that of general population.
Causes of epilepsy include injury around the time of birth, brain infections from illnesses such as meningitis or encephalitis, and stroke. WHO estimates 25% of cases are preventable. Dua says early death among people with epilepsy in low and middle income countries is significantly higher than in wealthy countries. She says the stigma associated with epilepsy is a main factor preventing people from seeking treatment. She says low cost, effective medication to treat the disease is largely unavailable in poor countries, as are a number of specialists competent to deal with this brain disorder.
For example, if you look in low and middle income countries, there is only one neurologist per million population. Now, that's definitely insufficient to provide care for all people with epilepsy. What it means is that we need the non-specialists, the primary care doctors, to take care for people with epilepsy.
Dua says WHO has the tools and evidence-based guidelines that show epilepsy can be successfully treated in primary health care. She says pilot programs introduced in Ghana, Mozambique, Myanmar, and Vietnam are making huge inroads in closing the epilepsy treatment gap. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Dr. Owens, let me have your reaction. You heard this report. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that those comments, they resonate with me well, seeing patients with epilepsy or just the work that I do. And even in the U.S., there's a huge disparities when you look at people who are wealthy versus lower income with epilepsy outcomes. People that come from resource-strained communities, they usually die early. I have less control of their seizures and epilepsy.
It's fascinating. Now, when we look at epilepsy in general, how can we better understand this condition? I know we hear seizures. Earlier I mentioned it's a brain disorder. But what does this mean, really?
Well, the first step that I would say is to really being able to recognize and understand seizures, because seizures are very different, and also epilepsy are different. Every patient experiences epilepsy differently. So what I will suggest is being able to recognize and respond to seizures. And the first thing is to know the different types of seizures. Oftentimes when you say the word seizure, someone get an image in their head that someone is stiffening and they're jerking and their eyes may be rolling back and drooling at the mouth. Yeah. But that type of seizure, which is called a generalized tonic-clonic seizure, it only represents 20% of the seizures that people have worldwide.
Okay.
But the other types of seizures that are more common are what we call focal seizures. And focal seizures mean that they impact a specific part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the part of the brain where the seizure is coming from, those are the type of symptoms that you may see. For an example, some seizures may be just as subtle as a blank stare. Or if you see someone having a blank stare, automatically you may think they're not paying attention to you, but they could be having a seizure. Mm-hmm. Also, seizures can be as subtle as someone may lose their train of thought. Additionally, some seizures cause people just to wander and walk around. We have even gotten some reports that some seizures may cause a person to loosen a certain part of their clothes and reattach or rebutton their clothes. And also there's types of things that are called automatisms, which you can see with seizures. And this is a repetitive type of motions. You may see a shaking or someone pulling at an article of clothing. So the first thing to really understanding epilepsy is to understanding there are different types of seizures. And all those seizures that I described, some people are aware that they're having a seizure, yeah. And some people are unaware that they're having a seizure. So we have what we call focal seizures. That means it's only impacting one part of the brain and they're aware. And the other part is focal, unaware. They're having a seizure and don't know it. But the first one I described that everyone think about, yeah. The generalized tonic-clonic seizure, that type of seizure impacts both part of the brain, both sides of the brain per se. And so that's when you see the stiffening and jerking.
That's interesting to know and mm-hmm. understand that there are different types of seizures mm-hmm. so that people who may have a loved one that has epilepsy mm-hmm. or are around someone mm-hmm. who may exhibit behaviors that may be seizures. It's important to recognize that it's not just the generalized. Now, there are other conditions that trigger seizures.
Mm-hmm.
How do we differentiate a seizure that is from someone who has epilepsy versus any other seizure?
Right. So that's a great question. And so what helped us determine if it's epilepsy or just a seizure? Epilepsy is the tendency to have recurring seizures.
Okay.
For an example, a person can have a very high fever, and the fever so high, the person start having a seizure. But once we find out what's causing the fever, and the temperature goes back to normal, the seizure go away, and the person may not have another seizure during his or her life. So that is not epilepsy.
Okay.
Also, some drugs that people take, prescription drugs and illegal drugs, can also cause a seizure.
Okay.
But once those, if you remove or know that's an effect of the drug, that is not epilepsy. But epilepsy is the tendency to have unprovoked, we don't know what the cause of to make someone have those seizures. And so what can someone do or what other things that can cause?
What are some of the triggers?
Other triggers that cause the seizures?
Yeah.
So there are several triggers that cause the seizures. One is stress.
Okay.
Another common cause of seizures, if someone taking medicine for seizures, is mismedications. Really, that is the number one cause of seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Also, alcohol in some settings can cause seizures.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about women, if they are childbearing age, their menstrual cycles in some cases may cause seizures, changes in hormones in the body. Also, other causes of seizures could be or lead to epilepsy, like stroke. People that have strokes are at an increased risk of developing epilepsy.
That's many, many different triggers.
Yes.
So when we think epilepsy, we think seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the only manifestation or the only characterization of epilepsy? Are there other factors or maybe other consequences that are a result of the condition, such as maybe affect the body or anything? Or when we think epilepsy, it's just seizures?
Well, to be diagnosed with epilepsy, you must have seizures.
Okay.
Again, all seizures are epilepsy. But other things that can be associated with epilepsy, as I mentioned, every person is different.
Yes.
There can be some mental health concerns, meaning increased risk of depression.
Okay.
When you compare people with epilepsy to the general population, people without epilepsy, people with epilepsy tend to have more mental health concerns. Also, when I say mental health concerns, it can be depression and increased risk of anxiety, mm-hmm. increased risk for suicide. But not every person with epilepsy will develop these mental health concerns. Also, if the epilepsy is associated with a genetic disorder, because many of epilepsies are associated with something genetic, so those are specific types of symptoms that, based on that genetic disorder that the person may have. For an example, Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, that's one that we hear in the media a lot, because that one, particular childhood epilepsy, has been approved for cannabis or a CBD or treatment, Epidiolex. So that's been in the news. And so Dravet's is also another type of syndrome that's associated with epilepsy.
Okay.
And so those type of manifestations is unique for that syndrome and also epilepsy.
What are, is there a population that is most at risk?
Well, one thing about epilepsy is one of those diseases that does not know any gender boundaries. It doesn't know ethnic or racial boundaries, and
mm-hmm.
it does not know age boundaries. So when you think about epilepsy and the incident or how many people have epilepsy, it's in the United States, it's 1.2% of the population, whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, or so forth, man, woman. It does not matter. It's an equal opportunity disease.
Oh, yes. It doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't discriminate.
Okay.
But the outcomes and what we do know that,
yes.
again, people who are in resource-strained communities or in resource-strained homes, they tend to have poor outcomes with epilepsy. So it's anyone is at risk, but there is a slight increased risk of a woman who has a child that, if the woman has epilepsy, there's an increased risk that the children may also have epilepsy. But across the board, it does not discriminate.
Okay.
1.2% of the population.
Now, you mentioned women and children.
Mm-hmm.
The women who have epilepsy, can they have children? Is it safe for them to get pregnant?
Yes, a woman of childbearing age can have, with epilepsy, can have children. So what is extremely important that with their epilepsy that you're being cared by a neurologist with specialized training, we call them epileptologists, or a primary care provider that really understands epilepsy. So there are certain things that you will want to do. A woman that's planning to have a child or would like to have a child that has epilepsy, there's certain drugs that you do not want a woman to take at all, such as the valproic acid, which is a generic brand of a drug, because of the what we call tetrogenic effects, where it can cause different malformations in utero when the child is developing.
Mm-hmm.
But a woman that decides that she wants to have a child or have a baby,
mm-hmm.
and she has epilepsy, there are things that the neurologist may want to do, may want to change the drugs or do a drug holiday and just make sure that it's planned, and then when to reintroduce the drugs back during pregnancy. So it's all in planning, and a primary care provider, epilepsy specialist, can all help a woman of childbearing age who decides to have a baby or
yes.
when to plan. But other concerns for women with epilepsy, and going back to what may trigger a seizure,
yes.
one of the questions that you asked earlier. So it has been reported that some of the hormonal changes during a woman's menstrual cycle, that those changes can also trigger seizures.
Okay.
But also with women, we want to think about bone health and vitamin D and so forth. So there's many things that just women in general with epilepsy, we just want to consider to make sure that they're healthy.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's talk about seizures again, because it's such an important part of epilepsy. When someone is having a seizure, what is the best approach? What is the best thing for people around to do?
Okay. So first of all, I would say anyone that has epilepsy or seizures, the first thing to come up with a seizure action plan. So the family, friends, loved ones, they should know what to do if someone if that person is having a seizure.
Okay.
But just for the general public,
yes.
At the foundation, we have what we call a seizure action plan or seizure first aid. And there's three things that we want people to remember: stay safe, side, and I'll walk you through them.
Okay.
So stay. So it's important to recognize the type of seizure. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
But stay with the person and immediately start timing the seizure, because most seizures last at most from 1 to 3 minutes. Some may last 5 minutes, but pretty much 3 minutes.
Okay.
So immediately start timing the seizure. So stay with the person, call for help, and then keep them safe. So safe means if they are having one of those types of seizures where they may wander mm-hmm. or just walk around, you want to guide them. Make sure that they don't walk out in the street or walk in front of the trap or walk downstairs if they're home and hurt themselves.
Yeah.
So that's another way to stay with them, keep them safe. If they're having the convulsive type seizure, that one that most people think of, the stiffening,
yes.
You want to make sure that that person, you want to help them to the floor, to the ground where okay. the seizure may occur, and keep them safe. Turn them on their side. You want to loosen, if they have a tie on or a button, unloosen anything. But what you want to do is also protect their head. And you can fold your hands and just hold a head, but do not restrain a person that's having any type of seizure, because that can cause a person to automatically react. They may not be aware that they react, and it also may harm the person.
Yeah.
So you keep them, you stay with them, you keep them safe, removing anything that may injure them or harm the person having a seizure, and then you turn the person with the convulsive type seizure on the side. But what I also caution everyone, do not put anything in a person's mouth that's having a seizure. They are unconscious. That means a wallet, a spoon, medicines, and there's some exceptions, but pretty much you should not put anything in a person's mouth that's having a seizure. And if the seizure lasts longer than 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
or if it's the person's first seizure, or if the person is pregnant, or if the person goes from one seizure, come conscious, start having another seizure.
Yeah.
Those are the times where you want to call for help, emergency medical services, and have that person evaluated in an emergency room.
Okay. All right, Dr. Owens, we are going to continue the conversation. We have to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more on epilepsy with Dr. Steve Owens. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Weekend is here, and so is another new episode of Music Time in Africa. Hello, everybody. I'm Heather Maxwell. Get your Pan-African groove on with current and classic hits, upbeat neo-traditional tunes, and great songs by undiscovered artists, too. Today's feature is none other than the golden voice of Africa, Salif Keita. He joined me in the studio earlier this week in Washington. How are you?
I'm okay. Ça va très bien.
Song of the Week, Dia De by Gato Preto, will definitely charge up your batteries. And wait till you hear our vintage tune from MTIA Archive. It takes you back to 1968, Uganda. So join me, Music Time in Africa, this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a slum in Uganda and a poor neighborhood in the United States have something in common, chess. We'll explore how one man uses chess to create social change on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing epilepsy with our guest expert, Dr. Steve Owens. He is Vice President of Programs and Services with the Epilepsy Foundation. Now, Dr. Owens, I want to start with this question because we hear so much myth and misconceptions. We have this listener who have posted a question on Facebook. He says, his name is David Giravogi. He says, where I am from in Guinea, especially in the forest region, people think that epilepsy is a contagious disease through contact with a patient's saliva. So how do you respond to that?
My response is education, education, education. Epilepsy is not contagious, and there are oftentimes many myths that are associated with epilepsy.
Yes.
And one of the number one myths is that it's contagious. You cannot develop epilepsy being in contact with someone having epilepsy or a seizure. Also, a common myth is that someone is possessed, meaning that there is a demon that someone may have, and that demon is acting up and causing the person to have seizures. That is also a myth related to epilepsy. Another myth that relates to epilepsy that people with epilepsy have low intelligence, and that is also a huge myth. There are many famous people. I would name some in the U.S. That have epilepsy. Danny Glover, the actor that was in Color Purple in many Hollywood movies. And also Prince, the entertainer.
Yes.
He had epilepsy as a child. And even a president, Theodore Roosevelt, had epilepsy.
Yes.
So you could be a very high functioning. It doesn't globally, for the most part, it's people with epilepsy do not have low intelligence.
That's great. That's great to know because there are so many myths, as you mentioned. Now, when someone has epilepsy, what kind of challenges are they confronted with on a day-to-day basis, whether they take their medicine? Actually, even when they take their medicine?
Well, there are several challenges living with epilepsy that people report. Sometimes memory, problems with memory, because if you have seizures or have different types of seizure can impact your memory, so you don't know if you had a seizure or not. Also, some other things that impact people living with epilepsy, they may be depressed, and so there are different tools that we have that can help a person with depression. Also, there are some things that we call quality of life or just daily living, transportation. In some places, people with epilepsy and seizures are unable to drive, so it's difficult getting to work, which can also impact your ability to make or have income for yourself.
Okay.
And also, just dealing or interfacing with people who may not understand and think there's something wrong with a person with epilepsy, and that lack of education awareness can also make it very challenging for someone that has epilepsy.
Okay. And now when you have, let's talk about treatment. What kind of treatment are available?
Well, there's different types of treatments available for epilepsy. The more common one that we know, what we call AEDs, or anti-epilepsy drugs, or anti-seizure drugs. Those, depending on the type of seizure the person having, it somewhat dictates which drug we want to start. Oftentimes, most people have very good control with one drug and can control the seizures. Sometimes it may take an additional drug or have, you have to add on another drug. But medications are the primary way that we treat epilepsy in this country. But there's other types of surgeries that people may have with epilepsy when they failed the drugs, and also different types of diet, the ketogenic diet, which is very high fat, low carb, low protein type diet, and that has been proven to help control
really?
Epilepsy, particularly in some children. It's a very restrictive diet. Yes. It's not the one that you hear very prevalent in the media, but it's a very specific type of diet therapy for someone with epilepsy.
It's not any kind of fat. It's just something that is very controlled.
It's very controlled. Yeah, it's very controlled.
Specific
things you can eat, and that help control your seizures.
Okay. All right. So when we... when someone has epilepsy, let's say, I know you touched on the causes and everything. Can you reiterate when it comes to genetics, if both parents have it or if no parent has it?
Well, no. Well, we really don't know the cause,
okay.
But just some of those genetic conditions that I mentioned, those syndrome, Dravet, Lennox-Gastaut, a lot of those we don't know the cause of what would make a chromosome or a gene do something.
Okay.
But we do know that a parent, a parent or a person with epilepsy, there's an increased risk. It's not a high risk, but it's slightly increased versus someone without epilepsy.
What does your organization do? Because you guys, this is the foundation is the top, one of the top, at least the top.
We are the top.
If not, you are the top in the U.S. addressing epilepsy.
Yes.
So talk to us about the work.
Well, we do work in several areas. Education awareness, we think that's key. We also want to ensure that there are programs available in the community. So where the person is with epilepsy, that's where the services are available. We also connect what we call it clinicians and community resources, community clinical linkages. We also do quite a bit of education through communications, through epilepsy.com. We have a toll-free helpline that we provide information. Some people ask, where can they find a seizure dog? Where can a dog be trained to recognize their seizures? Or where they can get help? And we also work with different states and governments to advocate for people with epilepsy, to make sure they're not discriminated against, to make sure that there are resources available for people living with epilepsy. And we also do quite a bit of research. That's one of our mainstays we do.
And speaking of research, moving forward, what kind of innovation research would you like to see, or how far have we come?
We've come a long way. We are developing or supporting research that may be able to predict a seizure in my seizure gauge, where some of the researchers are looking at your vitals, your temperature and so forth, and hormone levels, and almost can predict when someone will have a seizure. And also there are different innovations that are coming out, the way we diagnose with EEG, the electroencephalogram, where we can now in some cases do that wirelessly, so that address issues of people that may in geographic isolated areas and rural communities where we can diagnose them with epilepsy.
Okay, Dr. Owens, and thank you so much for joining us. We have to leave it there. It was so nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. Dr. Steve Owens, Vice President of Programs and Services with the Epilepsy Foundation, was our guest today. For more on today's topic, log on to our website at voanews.com. You can look for Health Chat. Also join us on Facebook and let's keep the conversation going. Look for Health Chat, VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudo in Washington, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe.